But then so does our culture. We hear a lot of messages about our bodies in books, on the TV, in social media, at the gym. And it can be confusing because we get conflicting messages, don't we, about what we should and shouldn't do with our bodies and whether they need changing. Where do our bodies come from anyway? What are they for? What are they worth? We might even ask, who or what am I? Well, confused.com won't help, nor will guesswork. Some people go with preference or experience and decide for themselves. Others hope that reason and science will be enough. But the good thing is that God has told us. He has given us his clear and sufficient word, the Bible, so we can know for sure who he is and who we are. As I say, we're looking at Psalm 139. That's where we start this series. And it's a favourite psalm of many. In fact, my mum was telling me just this week that it's her favourite because it's so personal. Hopefully you got a sense of that as we read the first 12 verses together. And what we discover in Psalm 139 is that our bodies are wonderful. Did you know that? Your body is wonderful. Don't take it from me, take it from God. God thinks your body is wonderful. Let's find out more from the psalm and see why. So, King David, who wrote this psalm, begins by praising God for his knowledge. In other words, what God knows, his knowledge. It's not just that God knows everything, more than everything in every book in the whole world, but he knows everything about me. My thoughts, my words, my actions. David says, God, you know when I sit down and when I get up, when I go out and when I lie down. You even know what I'm going to say before I say it. Wow, says David. What God knows is amazing. And then King David praises God for his presence. That is, where God is, his presence. And he says, God is everywhere. He is in the skies and the depths of the sea. He is present at dawn and down under in Australia. He's there in the daytime, and he's even there in the darkness. God is everywhere. And that's actually a really good thing, because it means God is there to protect me and to guide me. That's what David says. If God knows everything about us, some of us want to run away. That sounds scary, doesn't it? Because we know God is good and we're not. But there's no point in trying to run away from him because he is everywhere. But you see, we don't need to run away from him because God is with us so he can look after us. He promises to protect all who trust in him. So that's a little summary of the first 12 verses. The verses we read together. God's knowledge and God's presence. But how is it that God knows everything about me and goes wherever I go? Let me ask that again. How is it that God knows everything about me and goes everywhere I go? And the answer is, he made me. He made me. That's what David says next in the verses that Rachel read for us. God made me. David speaks to God and says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. So the God who made the heavens and the earth, big things like planets and stars, he put the sun in the sky, also made tiny little me. Now, at this stage, I'm going to need a few volunteers, maybe some climbers. Thank you, Seb. Four would do it, but two would be okay. If somebody wants to join, Seb, I can promise you it won't be embarrassing. I'm basically going to ask you to hold things up and help me to show the church a few things. Brilliant, Seb. I'll tell you what's going on in a moment. Anybody else? Otherwise, you might need to hold one thing in one hand and another thing in the other hand. No? Oh, maybe Jack. Jack would work, actually. I can give him the small things to hold. He'll be all right. Where is that? No, Sophie. Thank you, Sophie. Oh, we got Rocco.
Daddy, Jack could eat them.
No, he won't eat those things. They're not very tasty like that. Well, the apple's probably okay. Anybody else? No, brilliant. So Rocco and Seb, why don't you stand over there, and I'll tell you what's happening. Okay. Now, how do we grow in our mother's womb? You might have picked that theme up in this psalm. How do we grow in mummy's tummy, we might say? Well, here's a picture of us at 4 weeks of life. In fact, okay, hold that out for everybody to see. Can you see that? You can come too. That's us at 4 weeks. The size of a poppy seed, 1 millimeter in length. Okay, that's what God starts with, okay? Jack, you can hold that. Okay. That piece of paper, okay? That's how small we are. That's how God starts to work with detail at such a small level. But you can't see that, can you? So let's have a bigger picture. Rocco, maybe you could hold this for us. Why don't you hold that up for everybody to see? That's us at 4 weeks. Okay. 1 millimeter in length. That's a sort of a bigger version. We are that size. Yeah, that is enlarged. You're right, and I've printed a big one. Okay. What about 9 weeks? Jack, can you hold this? Isn't it great? Don't take the analogy too far. Okay, that's us at 9 weeks, the size of a grape. And here's an enlarged picture. Okay. Sophie, do you want to hold the picture? Let me tell you what's going on there, okay? At 9 weeks, your heart has already started beating and your brain developing for a few weeks now. You have a mouth and a nose and ears, okay? And if you're at the front, you might be able to see hands and feet. That's us at 9 weeks. Now, yeah, why not put a few things down, because I've got more things for you to hold, okay? Okay, you can pop that down wherever you like, Rocco. You take that apple. Thank you. And I'll get something else for you, Rocco. Okay. Probably wait till later. By 15 weeks, we're the size of an apple. And Rocco, if you could hold that up for us. That's nice and high. That's us at 15 weeks. Okay. And here we are. By now, a baby has fingerprints and can suck its thumb. Okay? Just 15 weeks. And last one. Do you want to hold that? Okay. Thank you. 18 weeks. By 18 weeks, the size of a bell pepper. And here's the picture. Jack, do you want to do this one? No? Sophie, why don't we swap? Weeks, and by this point we can move our arms and legs, still tiny, that's right, and yet God is able to deal with us at that size and work in the detail. We're complicated, aren't we? But small to start with and then grow quickly. Brilliant. It's amazing how God starts so small. The detail of his work is incredible. Within a matter of weeks, going from a dot to a body with a beating heart and organs and limbs. Brilliant. Well, thank you very much to my volunteers. Do hand those things back and take a seat. Thank you. You can keep it if you like. And just in case you couldn't see, I've got some pictures on the screen of the next stages of development. So by 20 weeks, you're the size of a banana and you can swallow. 27 weeks, look at those eyes. And you can see hair has formed. At 32 weeks, you're just a bit bigger than a coconut. And that your muscles and lungs are getting ready for the outside world. And then finally, 40 weeks, you're the size of a small pumpkin. Past full term, you should be ready to come out now and face the world. Now, David obviously didn't have the technology to see pictures like these, but he knew who was at work. God told him. He knew that God was at work when he was in his mummy's tummy. It was God knitting and weaving him together, he says. He says, my frame was not hidden from you, God, when I was in the secret place. Those first weeks of life might be a mystery to me, but not to you. Your eyes saw my unformed body. You can follow in the psalm. You knew what I would be like even before I was born. So we're not talking about random chance or just biology. We're talking about creation. God creates each one of us. He wanted to, he planned to, and he says that we're the best thing that he made. In fact, David says, God, you know all the days of my life before I was even born. Now, we focused on life before birth, but what about life after birth? After all, our bodies are designed for life outside the womb, in the world. Well, let's watch a short video of kids making the most of life out and about. We'll probably watch a minute or so, and I'll give you a wave, Wendy, when we're done. Probably just a case of clicking on the screen, I think. Does that work if you just do one click? Don't worry if not. We can skip. No. If you try one more time by going back and forward. No. It looks as though it's ended up as a photo rather than video. That's a shame. I'll just have to explain. You've probably seen the videos on YouTube of people doing amazing things, and I thought we'd pick kids, because we've got a number with us today for our church family service. This boy, for example, doing amazing skill and scoring an incredible goal. We've got children on the ski slopes, amazing things on scooters and trampolines, just having a lot of fun. The point being that our bodies are wonderful, that God has made us with wonderful bodies to do amazing things. So I'm sorry that didn't work, but I can share that video with you later if you like, or you can search for that sort of thing on YouTube. People are amazing. That sort of title will do it. Now, when we see things like that, we might think, wow, you know, that's amazing. It's incredible that people, children, can do things like that, sport and movement. But what about our sense of taste? God gives us a taste. Wouldn't it be boring if every meal tasted the same? But we can enjoy all sorts of flavours. And with our sense of hearing, we can enjoy all sorts of sounds and music. Have you thought about how delicate the eye is? It's amazing, isn't it, what God has made and the sight that we have. Then there's our hands, which are able to do all sorts of different things, whether it's carrying or waving or even a whole language, sign language, writing. Our intellects, God has given us amazing brains. We're able to relate and communicate and love. And we could go on. Adults might know how clotting works, and how the body is able to repair itself to a certain extent, which is amazing. Now, when we haven't been able to see the video, but when we see things like that, we might think that's amazing that people, even children, could do these incredible things. But some might see something like that and think, well, I could never do that. Or my body isn't wonderful. It doesn't work properly. Or it's getting old. So rather than bringing joy and pleasure, our bodies can be the source of pain and frustration. Well, our bodies aren't perfect. They're broken or breaking because of sin, like everything else in this world. That's why we need Jesus. Our bodies won't last. They're only temporary. And later at this term with this series, Mike will tell us about our new bodies that God will give us in heaven if we trust in Jesus. Those bodies that will be perfect forever. But most of us can and do enjoy our bodies now. It's not just what's inside that counts. God has given us bodies to enjoy. We are embodied souls, the adults might say. Spirits in bodies. And, well, we want to copy David in thanking God. That's the response to what God has given us. And David says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We are wonderfully made. Our bodies are wonderful. Your body is wonderful because you were made by God. And the body is a gift to be enjoyed and looked after. So as we begin a new year, let's praise God and use the gift of our bodies to please him. Let's pray. It has to say what you have to say about our bodies, what we're worth, and how to use them to please you. Please help us to be grateful to you as we start a new year for the good gifts we enjoy with our bodies, like food, like being able to love friends and family as we have over recent days over Christmas. Please help us to serve you with joy and to praise you along with King David. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.